You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
You can love more thoroughly. Your joy lasts through things better. Your faithfulness is of a better quality. Obviously, the battle-tested soldier is the one most highly valued during times of war. The trained and challenged athlete is far better to have on your team. And the Christian matured by trials is the greatest blessing to the church. Please, beloved, do not resist your trials. Don't run from your trials. Don't fear your trials.
In today's message, Pastor Tom has an important statement to share. You don't need to be afraid of trials. They will happen whether or not you're ready for them. Trials are an inevitable part of life, but you have the faith to endure. You won't be able to produce it in your own strength. You need the help of the Holy Spirit to endure. Ask Him today to increase your faith and teach you through the trials in your life. He'll answer, and He'll help you discover exactly what you need to survive and rejoice. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, Trials, Pathway to Maturity.
Now, please don't misunderstand. Trials do not strengthen or produce endurance in unbelievers. When an unbeliever gets a trial after trial after trial, what happens to them? Well, they end up like Pharaoh. He becomes more and more confused, more and more like a madman, more and more crazy, more and more blasphemous, right? They get one trial on top of another. It just makes them bitter, not better. They blame God. You know, when an unbeliever has good happen in their life, they take credit for it. Look what I did. Look what I got. Look what I procured. Look how my family is. But when bad happens, they're quick like, why'd you do this, God? They're very unreasonable. And God will judge them for that being unreasonable. Jesus said in John 8:31, if you continue in me, you are truly my disciples. So continuance, endurance is the mark of a true believer. It's the pathway also to greater maturity. Hebrews 3:14 says, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance, that's faith, the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. Faith will endure, it'll persevere. If it's true faith, it goes through the testing. Now, in the midst of that, you may be wondering and you may be really struggling. That doesn't mean you're not a believer. That means you're struggling. We'll just see what happens with your faith. See where God takes you. Genuine faith will not completely fade away. It will stand the test of time. Hebrews 11 is one example after another of men and women who by faith endured a whole assortment of trials and were proven believers and grew in their character as God helped them shed sins over a longer period of time. Fourth observation from this verse. James writes at the end of verse 3 that the testing of our faith produces, and here's where we kind of come to, produces endurance. Now, produces is the verb works, literally. It comes from sort of a compound Greek word here, kata ergazomai. And kata means down, and ergazomai means to work, so it means to work it down. And that means to work it thoroughly through. So the testing of faith works thoroughly through down to endurance. Produces endurance. It's an emphatic verb form. And it's in the present tense, which means the development from trials is ongoing. It's not just one trial and I got mature. There'll be ongoing trials, and those trials will continue to work. The testing of the faith will continue to work it down until endurance is there. More endurance and more endurance. And by the way, we're going to learn next week that endurance is not the goal. Endurance is the means to the goal. You'll see that. Trials keep working to produce endurance until there is endurance there. Why do I keep getting trials? Answer, you need more endurance. Trials keep coming because you need more endurance. Well, let's put it another way. There's no way you can get endurance without trials. There's not another way. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? Next week, we're offering a course on getting endurance. You come in. Take the course, walk out, and now you have endurance. No. No, you've learned what endurance is and how you should have it, but you don't necessarily have the endurance, right? If we could just understand the great value of endurance and faith and understand that we don't get endurance without trials, we would begin to sense that pure joy that James exhorted us to have when we encounter various trials. The testing comes not only to reveal our faith as genuine, but to strengthen our faith so we can have more endurance. So endurance can then do its work. Spurgeon, in that same sermon I quoted before, said, "The man who truly possesses patience is the man that has been tried." Look around. Who's got Christian endurance? Ask them to give a testimony. What has been going on in your life? And they'll tell you, trials. Trials, a lot of them. "Well, I didn't know that from your response. You're so joyful and you're so strong and God's matured you." Well, yeah, that's the point. God's matured me through the trials. But I wouldn't have been here without the trials. So I thank God for my trials. Endurance is the word hupomonein. Hupomonein. Patience is not quite the best way to translate that word. Hupomonein means more than that. It means stick-to-itness. It has the idea of just staying underneath something, not running out under the pressure, but staying there and strongly enduring it. Putting it on the shoulders and saying, "I take this load. I'm going to carry this thing." It's a determination. You got a pack on the back. You look at the hill. You look at the mountain. You're like, "I'm going to get up there." That's endurance. Particularly if you make it, right? D. Edmund Hebert says, "It is a virtue that grows under trial and testing, a brave manliness that confronts the difficulties and contends against them, tenacity of spirit which holds up under pressure." I like that. So endurance is not this. Sometimes we think of endurance this way, so we think we have it. We say something like, "Oh boy, how long will this trial last?" And we think we have endurance. That's not endurance. That's passive resignation. If that's your response to trials, you don't have endurance yet. Later, James will write in James 5:11, "You have heard of the endurance of Job." Now, there's a guy. There's a guy who had endurance. Douglas Moo writes, "The picture is of a person successfully carrying a heavy load for a long time." R. Kent Hughes writes, "We develop toughness or fortitude by repeatedly being tested and prevailing. The more tests we pass, the tougher we become. As a boxer engages in bout after bout, he toughens, becomes wiser and stronger. After a time, he develops such fortitude, perseverance, and staying power that he can take on the best. There is no way a fighter or any of us can develop toughness without testing." The pulpit commentary says this, "Christian patience is not the submission of indifference or merely the determination of an obstinate will. It is inspired by living piety, and it is therefore full of intelligence and manliness. The apostle's words show that he regards this grace of endurance as inexpressibly precious. He looks upon its possessor as, in the truest sense, a wise and wealthy man. The man who uses every fresh trial in such a way as only to increase his power of holy endurance is unspeakably a gainer by his calamity." Wow, so you can gain by your calamities. If you can gain by your calamities, then everything in life is going to be happy and joyful, right? If things go well with you, you're like, "Well, things went well with me. Thank God, I'm glad things went well." And things go really poorly as you judge it at first, and you realize, "I can really gain by this." Do you understand what that does to your perspective on life? Back to Spurgeon again. "Calm resignation does not come all at once. Often long years of physical pain or mental depression or disappointment in business or multiplied bereavements are needed to bring the soul into full submission to the will of the Lord. After much crying, the child is weaned. After much chastening, the son is made obedient to his father's will. By degrees, we learn to end our quarrel with God and to desire that there may not be two wills between God and ourselves, but that God's will may be our will. Oh, brother, if your troubles work you to that, you are a gainer. I am sure, and you may count them all joy." Please, let me repeat this. Endurance is not passive resignation. Remember that old song, "Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera." That's not it. That's not it. It's not holding back the tears, gritting the teeth. Or pretending not to be discouraged so you can look good in church. By the way, do you share your struggles with other people in church? If you don't, because you're fearful how they might think about it, you're judging them. You're judging them. Can't judge their lack of love. Share. If they mess you up then you can judge them. But share. Passive resignation results in defeat of mind and heart. You can't win that way. Active perseverance results in triumph. This is the active element in faith. It's not quietism, just sitting there waiting for it to pass. You know, some of you have stamina in areas of your life, so you know what stamina is. You can go to work, you could put up with all these people that come, and you have to deal with people, and you have a lot of endurance in that. Or you know, some of your mommies, you're putting up with a lot more than I put up with, you know. After about the fifth or sixth, mommy, it drives me nuts. Daddy. What? You already have it in some areas. Let me ask you, though, do you have spiritual stamina? Some of you are honest. You're saying, no, I don't think I do. I don't think I've really been tested that much. Precisely. So that means that you can look forward in your future to what? Testing. And that's why you can consider it God's grace to you when you lose your job, when you have a loss of a loved one, when you're in an accident. You can look at each and every trial and say, God's grace is working right there in my life. How do you view the Christian life? How about this? You got a pack on your back, and you got a long uphill road in front of you. Once in a while, it might dip a little bit, but the mountain just keeps going up and up and up. But your legs don't get stronger coasting the bike downhill, right? Whee! The legs only get stronger pumping uphill. Your faith is like a muscle. That's a great analogy. When you exercise your muscles, they first feel what? Sore. I mean, the next day it's bad. I remember once we went to this boot camp thing, and I wanted to prove everyone what I could do first day. So I'm all out. Ooh, that's impressive. Look at the newbie. We drove all the way to Orlando the next day. I couldn't hardly get out of the car. I was so sore. First 3 days at Disney World, I'm like. But after the muscles are sore, what happens to them? They get strengthened, right? Right? Some of you forgot because you don't exercise anymore. A trial given by the Lord will not destroy true faith. It will expose weakness. It will expose weakness. We have such an inflated sense of our own faith. You know, me too. I'm senior pastor. God, don't you know that? Yeah, I study your word every day. I don't need any more trials. I arrived. I don't really think that. But maybe it passes through the mind sometimes, you know, when you first get the trial. What? This again? Psalm 37, I like this. The Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever. Oh, he's going to help me in my faith. You know, Paul didn't sit down and pout when he went through a trial. Listen to 2 Corinthians 6. In everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. Paul had that. So Paul gained staying power, constancy, endurance, steadfastness. That is why he was able to do so much for the Lord. His strong faith energized his apostolic ministry. Sometimes people take one little tiny ministry in church. You know, oh, I got a ministry in church and I'm going to do that. And you're all excited about it, you know. You talk to one of the pastors you're going to go do. And then you run into difficulties. Folks don't show up to the meeting. They don't do what they're supposed to do. Supplies aren't there, budget's not there. And like, I quit. Is that the extent of faith? Kind of shows it, doesn't it? It's interesting that James says we rejoice in our tribulations. And Paul wrote in Romans 5:3, we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Job knew this too. Job 17:9, the righteous shall hold to his way, and he who has clean hands shall grow stronger and stronger. Paul valued this quality of endurance. He mentions it 16 times in his epistles. 1 Thess 1:3, we are constantly bearing in mind, writing to the Thessalonian church, your work of faith and labor of love, and here it is, steadfastness, hupomone, of hope. Revelation 2:2, Jesus commended the church at Ephesus for this. He says, I know your deeds and your toil and your hupomone, your perseverance. However slow and painful the trial is, endurance is the outcome. And greater endurance comes with greater pain. Endurance and faith is a great quality to have. When you have endurance and faith, it makes all the other qualities of your life better. You can be kinder longer. You can love more thoroughly. Your joy lasts through things better. Your faithfulness is of a better quality. Obviously, the battle-tested soldier is the one most highly valued during times of war. The trained and challenged athlete is far better to have on your team. And the Christian matured by trials is the greatest blessing to the church. Please, beloved, do not resist your trials. Don't run from your trials. Don't fear your trials. I know what else goes through the mind. It's something like this. You know, you come to church and you're like, wow, that person, God's putting that person through that? How could God do that to a believer? That's a nice guy. Why do bad things happen to good people? And you're sitting there in your head like, God's putting that person through that? They got cancer, they lost their job, this, that. And then you're fearful. I don't want to stand out for God. I don't want to be. I know I got to go to church. But you don't want to stand out. You don't want to stick your neck out. Listen, can I tell you something to help out a little bit? You never have to go through anybody else's trials. Now, you can bear their burdens for them as well. But you don't have to go through their trials. You only have to go through your trials. Does that help? God is going to pick the trials that are right for you. I had that revelation one day. I was like, man, look at what they went through. Oh, my. I could never do that. Maybe I don't have to do that yet. Maybe I'm going to go through this, then this, then that, then this, and this, and then I'll get to that, and it won't seem quite as hard then, because he knows what he's doing. He's a good coach. The Lord will prepare you for each and strengthen you through each, and in each give you more joy. One of the great illustrations of endurance needed in the Christian life comes from John Bunyan's classic Pilgrim's Progress. How many of you have read that? Just out of curiosity. Pilgrim's Progress. Get a copy, read it. If you're not good at reading, get the kids' copy. It's good too. I'm serious, read it. It's good. Bunyan's main character in the allegory is Christian. He had to endure many trials on his way to the celestial city, heaven. There was the hill of difficulty on which he felt the pressure to slouch on his Christian pilgrimage. Then came the fearful lion's roar with the two lions on either side of the pathway, but chained, but scaring him from walking between. And then he faced the wicked Apollyon, the destroyer, who sought to slay him with his evil darts. So he had to learn to use spiritual armor through the advice of prudence, piety, and charity. Further on the journey, it led to Vanity Fair, the city of pure worldly concerns. Here he faced persecution and abuse and witnessed his traveling companion, Faithful, put to death for refusing to compromise his faith. Throughout his life, Christian's faith was tested time and time again. He was never allowed to go around his trials. He always had to go through the trials if he was going to make it to the celestial city. Each test strengthened his faith, creating greater endurance. He didn't get all of his tests at one time. They were spaced out. And as he endured, it led to greater maturity, greater determination to hasten his pace to the celestial city, greater joy burning in his heart, greater usefulness to God, greater Christian character. All of this fits what the Apostle Paul wrote, through many trials we must enter the celestial city, the kingdom of heaven. One of the reasons Bunyan's classic has been a great seller among Christians for so many years is that it is a vivid picture of the real Christian life, not the unrealistic picture that many paint today as to what it should be like to follow Christ. You ever listen to some of the happy, slappy Christian radio? Everything is positive. That's not faith tested by trials. There were many others in that same allegory who faced these same tests on the way to the celestial city, and they turned back. There was a fellow named Obstinate, Pliable, Mistrust, and Timorous, Timid. Each, for the obvious reason, would have nothing to do with the trial-filled Christian walk to the celestial city. They decided, I've walked on this long enough. Let me get off this road. Turn back. They cut off the trials. They wanted to return to a life of ease. They were not genuine followers of Christ. Others went astray seeking worldly things. There was formalist and hypocrisy who held to a form of religion but did not follow God genuinely. And Demas who sought for silver instead of things that would last. But Christians' faith endured to the end. Spurgeon writes this: "The patience which God works in us by tribulation also takes another form, namely that of acting without undue haste. Before wisdom has balanced our zeal, we are eager to serve God all in a hurry with a rush and a spurt as if everything must be done within the hour or nothing would ever be accomplished." Young men, please listen to this. "We set about holy service with somewhat more of a preparedness of heart after we have been drilled in the school of trial. We go steadily and resolutely about work for Jesus, knowing what poor creatures we are and what a glorious master we serve. The Lord our God is in no hurry because he is strong and wise. In proportion as we grow like the Lord Jesus, we shall cast aside disturbance of mind and fury of spirit. His was a grand life work, but he never seemed to be confused, excited, worried, or hurried, as certain of his people are. He did not strive, nor cry, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. He knew his hour was not yet come, and there were so many days in which he would work, and therefore he went steadily on till he had finished the work which his Father had given him to do. That kind of patience is a jewel more to be desired than the gem which glitters on the imperial brow." You know, so often we just got to run and God's got to do it now. And if he doesn't do it now, there's something wrong. Then he continues, "That is a grand kind of patience too, when we can wait without unbelief." When we can wait without unbelief. "Two little words are good for every Christian to learn and to practice," he writes. "Pray and stay." Waiting on the Lord implies both praying and staying. What if the world is not converted this year? What if the Lord Jesus does not come tomorrow? What if still our tribulations are lengthened out? What if the conflict is continued? He that has been tried and by grace has obtained the true profit of his trials both quietly waits and joyfully hopes for the salvation of God. Patience, brother, is this high virtue scarce with thee? The Holy Spirit shall bestow it upon thee through suffering. End quote. When we place our hand into the hand of God and let him grab it and take us where he wants to take us, and it's into some hard things, that is not a punishment. That is a privilege. And you should thank your Heavenly Father. He knows how to handle you as a son. There's an old Arabic proverb that says, "Too many sunny days produce deserts." And I guess in Arabia they would know. We must learn to appreciate the rainy days when they come. Next, we're going to discover that the greatest part of the trial is not the endurance, but where endurance leads.
It's not a punishment to have to endure a trial. In Pastor Tom's teaching today, you'll learn that it's actually a privilege to endure a testing of your faith. If you're willing to give your life to Christ, you're going to need to go through some difficult things. The enemy doesn't want you to follow Jesus, so he will retaliate. Let those trials strengthen you, not pull you down. Let them remind you that your faith is being exercised and grown. We're blessed to be able to share the good news of the gospel with our listeners through the ministry of Discover Hope. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus yet, or if you have more questions, we invite you to visit the What Does It Mean to Be a Christian page under the About Us at hopebible.org. This will provide you with a concise description of why you need Jesus in your life and how you can be free from sin. We'd like to speak and pray with you too, so please give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. Again, that's 443-200-HOPE. Pastor Tom will continue to talk with you about trials and what they mean for your life next time on Discover Hope. You've already learned what Jesus wants to do in your life through the hard times, so next time you'll begin to find the pathway it creates for you to mature in your faith. Trials are a way to grow, to burn away the sinful parts of yourself, and to become who God knows you can be. There's much more to learn from the book of James, so we hope you'll tune in next time. If you'd like to listen again to today's teaching or share it with friends and family, you'll find it online at hopebible.org. Thanks for joining us on Discover Hope.